This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Washington continues to melt down over the signal stuff. I am getting very tired of this story. They made a mistake. They messed up. A reporter was included in this. You realize that what you heard, what you keep hearing is, well, a bad guy could have had access to it. Okay, could have, but didn't. So we're lucky we dodged a bullet. Lesson learned. Move on already. I mean, come on. They're using this app to chat. It's supposed to be encrypted. Lesson for you if you're using this app. Not exactly totally encrypted. People can get in. People can have access. How they got access. Mistakes are made. You can screenshot it. Whatever. Look, it's a learning lesson. Move on. I mean, to hear these people talk about the hypotheticals that could have happened. You know, well, you know, if the Russians had heard, they could have warned Iran. And then Iran could have done this and that. But none of that happened. Okay? It didn't happen. So now they've learned that using Signal is not the best way to communicate. And we've all learned grown men should not use emojis. I'm sorry, but I feel very passionate about this. I don't care if you just killed terrorists and you're using a fist bump American flag emoji. You're a grown man. Okay, no emojis. I'm serious about this now. I think we've gone too far as a society on the emoji thing. Enough already. Give it up. Move on. There's no reason for a grown man in a business setting to use an emoji under any circumstances. That's just me. And I feel as if we could have avoided this whole thing if we had just followed that simple, simple rule of life. I have many rules of life, but that's one of them. Mention not wear skinny jeans either. Obviously, we all agree on that. But no, look, I mean, they messed up. They used an app and somebody got access to it. And lesson learned, don't use that app anymore. I feel like we're just all spending so much freaking time on this. The Biden administration, I'm not trying to play like the what about game here, but I mean, you know, not for nothing, but their national security team led the worst withdrawal in American history out of Afghanistan with 13 Americans dead. It was a freaking disaster. All these people that were working with us, these Afghanis who were partners with the United States military, were left behind. I mean, you had Ryan Mannion, our buddy Ryan Mannion, using a satellite phone to try to help people get past Taliban checkpoints. It was an epic failure and disaster. Nobody got in trouble for it. So, like, you know, if you're going to use here, you got a scale. This scale is a reporter accidentally joins your secure chat about a strikes on terrorists. Okay, bad. But here is the Afghanistan. It's like, boom, the scales drop. And yet nobody got in trouble for that. Then the other thing that they're all upset about is the fact that emojis were used. And I understand that. And they're like, well, but like you're killing terrorists. I mean, and you're offended by the emojis. They're dead. The emoji is not a problem other than the fact that grown people shouldn't use them. But beyond that, they're dead. So, you know, it's like it seems to me, if you're focused on that, like, well, I think it was very crass. I heard a member of Congress say that today during the hearing. I think it was very crass for them to use emojis. Like, dude, they just killed a bunch of terrorists. That's your big beef with all this, honestly? The punch in the face American flag emoji? Really, Congressman? Anyway, it was a S show on Capitol Hill today in a big, big way. I just think Like, you gotta move on. They've acknowledged the responsibility. They messed up, and now there's other things to focus on. My God, like, come on already. And yet, I have a lot to share with you in that vein. Oh, also NPR and PBS today on Capitol Hill. NPR acknowledging mistakes in their reporting. You think? Really? Like covering up the COVID lab leak and telling everybody it was a undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli, the Hunter Biden laptop story, like all those things. Going with the Russiagate collusion, never acknowledging that Russiagate was a hoax. Those things, for example. So, yeah, that was on Capitol Hill today, too. And now that their funding is coming up for renewal, then they're all trying to grovel and say, we're sorry. We're so sorry. We should have done better. We should have done a better job with all these things. And Mark Warner of Virginia used that very same Signal app to talk to Christopher Steele, or try to get in touch with Christopher Steele of the Christopher Steele dossier. That's right, Mark Warner, who's hyperventilating in every single way possible over this Signal thing, used Signal to try to get in touch with Christopher Steele. So again, they've been using Signal. It's an approved app for secret communications, and they made a mistake by involving this reporter on it. Okay, we get it. We move on already. But some of the allegations today by Democrats, like Pete Hegseth was drunk, like he was drunk signaling. I mean, maybe people do that, like drunk texting. I don't know. We've all maybe sent a text we regret the next day if we've had a couple. But I don't know. But drunk signaling, is that a thing? Is that even a thing? I don't know. But Pete Hegseth doesn't drink anymore. He gave it up. But the Democrats, of course, want to try to. So let's cue up cut number 12 here. The Democrats want to try to go down this road of suggesting Pete Hegseth's still a drunk. He had a bad time in his life when he came back from combat. Happens to a lot of our veterans. And he found God, got married, turned his life around, and give the guy a break. You know, there's a lot of people out there battling addiction, a lot of people battling their demons. And to suggest that the defense secretary was drunk because he had a glass of water at a podium. So I, you know, just so you know, I stay hydrated throughout the show today. This is water. Take my word for it or don't. I mean, you know, it's up to you. This is water too, in my Travis Manion Foundation shaker mug thingy. But I try to stay hydrated. Just because somebody has a liquid beverage doesn't mean it's alcohol. It could be. Doesn't have to be. So anyway, here's that exchange, cut number 12.
To your knowledge, do you know whether Pete Hegseth had been drinking before he leaked classified information?
I don't have any knowledge of Secretary Hegseth's personal habits.
Director Radcliffe, same question. Yes or no?
You know, no, I'm going to answer that. I think that's an offensive line of questioning. The answer is no. I find it interesting that you want to...
Hey,
I'm going to answer. You asked
Director,
me a question. You
Director.
Want an answer?
No, listen.
You don't want to focus on the good work that the CIA is doing, that the intelligence community...
Director, I reclaim my time. Director, I reclaim my time. Here, I have huge respect for the CIA, huge respect for our men and women in uniform. But this was a question that's on the top of minds of every American, right? He stood in front of a podium in Europe holding a drink.
Oh.
So, of course, we want to know if his performance is compromised. People were asking if the General Austin was compromised because of a heart issue.
Was his performance compromised because of a successful strike?
Mr. I bring my...
You want to know? You want to talk about accepting responsibility? Do you think you should accept responsibility for a successful strike to make Americans safer? You
want to focus on...
You reclaim your time, you idiot. I mean, you reclaim your time. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. So he had a glass of water at a podium. He had a beverage, a liquid beverage. Therefore, it's got to be alcohol, obviously. It's so stupid. And this guy, Jared Moskowitz, had a sign today, actually, at the hearing where he had emojis. Because that's what they were upset about, too. They had emojis the fist emoji and the American flag emoji and the fire emoji. And Jared Moskowitz says to them, he goes, "You think this is okay? This is really okay? Hey, Congressman, I got news for you. It's never okay for a grown man to use an emoji. But they just killed freaking terrorists, and that's what you're worried about?" You know, I'll get you that. I'll get you that clip too, because it's ridiculous to watch. It really is. It's you know what it is. We've reached the point now where the Democrats think that they have something. They don't have anything. They think they're there. The average American person right now, I'm telling you right now, doesn't think this is a big deal at all. They're like, oh, okay. They use Signal. The people that might know about it. I guess I don't know. You know, some people are finding out about it. But did anyone die? It wasn't supposed to die. No. Did the bad guys get into the chat and lead to American deaths? And no. So you could sit here and do hypotheticals, and great, lesson learned. We won't use Signal anymore. Maybe the NSA can come up with their own chat, or maybe Elon can come up with an app, or maybe something, because we have to be able to communicate when we're in different places, because it's not 1912, where everybody's going to necessarily be in Washington, or 1816. People are going to be all over the world. So what's the best way for them to communicate? Tulsi Gabbard was in Asia. Somebody else was in, they were all over the world communicating about this strike. So if they have to communicate, they can't all be in the Situation Room because they have to be doing things. Something has to happen. What's the best way to communicate? I would have assumed, just from my own, I would have assumed the military had something special just for them. You know, I would have assumed the NSA had something special just for that sort of thing. Clearly not. So they being the government and the previous administration, approved Signal as one of those apps. And they said, Signal's an approved app. You can use Signal. It's encrypted. There you go. All right. Well, obviously, the app's not perfect and the app makes mistakes. And so we got to come up with something better. But that's like, what happened that was so bad after all this? You know what I'm saying? Like, what happened? You have to go down that road and you have to ask yourself, bad things could have happened, but they didn't. So then, like, can we freaking get over it already? Here's CIA Director John Ratcliffe from the hearing today. This is cut number 11. This is where Tulsi Gabbard, Kash Patel, and John Ratcliffe testified about global threats. Cut 11.
You know, there's so much talk about this Atlantic article and about things that were said and that could have happened instead of a focus on what did happen. So my responsibility as CIA director, one of its responsibilities is to kill terrorists. And that's exactly what I did, along with President Trump's excellent national security team. That's what we should be focused on. With regard to that article, I also would appreciate the opportunity to relay the fact that yesterday I spent 4 hours answering questions from senators as a result of that article that were intimating that I transmitted classified information because there were hidden messages. Those messages were revealed today and revealed that I did not transmit classified information, and that the reporter, who I don't know, I think intentionally intended it to indicate that. That reporter also indicated that I had released the name of an undercover CIA operative in that Signal chat. In fact, I had released the name of my chief of staff, who is not operating undercover. That was deliberately false and misleading. And I appreciate the opportunity to reflect that my answers haven't changed. I used an appropriate channel to communicate sensitive information. It was permissible to do so. I didn't transfer any classified information. And at the end of the day, what is most important is that the mission was a remarkable success, is what everyone should be focused on here, because that's what did happen, not what possibly could have happened.
Right. Exactly. So I don't understand what the big freaking deal is. They made a mistake. They used an app they were allowed to use. They communicated and a mistake happened. Okay. But let's put this in perspective with other mistakes that have been made. This isn't a whataboutism game. It's the truth. And the Biden administration messed up in the most historic way with the withdrawal of Afghanistan, nobody got in trouble. Nobody. And so this notion that we're all going to pretend like this is the biggest scandal of the century is ridiculous. No, the bigger scandal here is that they killed terrorists and then they used emojis. Here's Representative Jared Moskowitz really getting to the bottom of what should be offending all of us in America. Take a listen and a look.
Other than giving like a really big, long speech, I feel like I could just use this, and this will tell you that I think it's good, right? So like that's a fist, American flag, fire. So I'll just, from now on, when we do things where like we agree, I'll just hold this up rather than giving like a really big long speech. So job well done, guys.
Would the gentleman yield?
Sure, I'll yield.
But I'm not sure everybody recognizes the reference there. Would you explain where that comes from?
Yeah, so this is how we, when we're in like a chat with friends, right, where we're like having a casual chat about like where we're dropping missiles.
Are you talking about a public chat room?
Yeah, yeah, but like, and with friends, and we're just like, you know, hamming about who we're going to bomb and all of that. But we agree. We fist American flag fire. So I'm holding this up. I think we could just keep the committee shorter if, like, when we agree, we just hold this up.
Yeah. No, I think you're supposed to have the flexed arm instead of the fist.
No, it was just, okay. It was just the fist. What signal chat are you in?
I was on Twitter.
If the gentleman would yield for an additional question,
sure.
But what happens if there are reporters who might be there for that?
Well, hopefully they support America.
As we said,
and that it's fire.
Wow. Emoji gate. It's worse than we ever imagined. They might even make a movie about it. The emoji movie, which was terrible, by the way. Just don't waste your time. I had high hopes for that movie years ago. Emoji gate cannot stand. I'm sorry, we cannot use emojis when we're talking about killing terrorists. Why not? I mean, other than the fact that grown men should not use emojis, but huh? What about a GIF? A GIF? What if we did the Batman thumbs up GIF emoji? Which is the only good thing to come out of the Val Kilmer Batman movie, by the way. Just that's it. You know, we spent a lot of time this week talking about bat nipples, and I'm just saying that when Val Kilmer took over as Batman, that movie was not good. Batman Forever is not good. However, the thumbs up Batman GIF, whatever you want to call it, could we have done that after they killed terrorists? Like, would that have made you happy, Congressman? Or is it just, you know, to honor the dead terrorists, you just shouldn't use an emoji? Emoji gate. I don't know if they can survive Emoji Gate. You know, Emoji Gate could be the end of all of this. And then you got to do sad face emoji. Sad face emoji if this is, you know. And what about the dastardly deeds done emoji? Can we get one of those? A dastardly deeds done emoji? Huh? And I see a little YouTube chat. What would my emoji be? And somebody put a scooter up. Yeah, that's funny. Real funny, Road Warrior. That's right. But we could put this all in perspective. I mean, granted, no emojis were used. However, yeah, somebody wants to know. So Benghazi, great point. They made a movie out of that too, called 13 Hours. What's worse in your mind, emojis or what happened with Benghazi? What's worse in your mind, emojis or the disastrous withdrawal of Afghanistan that embarrassed the United States of America and made us all look like we were the most incompetent nation on the planet, and nobody got in trouble for it? Nobody. 13 Americans dead, nobody got in trouble. But no emojis were used. Ah, they didn't use emojis. See? Here's CNBC's Joe Kernan reminding a hyperventilating Mark Warner, who I should remind you, used Signal to try to communicate with Christopher Steele, the author of the Steele dossier, that maybe there's other things here that people should have been upset about if we're really going to try to do this horrible, horrible, terrible national security team that used emojis, cut 13.
You remember the Biden administration started with the biggest F up in history with Afghanistan and 13 dead Americans. Let's not get too sanctimonious and high and mighty screwing up, Senator.
Should we go back even to... That's only four years.
Should we go, Senator?
I'm surprised, Joe. You're not going to throw in...
Yeah, I am. I just did.
by Hillary servers. But let's, Joe.
She wiped that clean with a cloth, remember?
Acknowledge.
No, I do.
This was a screw-up. If the Houthis, the bombing was a success, God bless. Thank God the person on the line wasn't an Iranian spy, and they could have given that to the Houthis, and that bombing success might have turned into something that cost American lives. At least acknowledge that's what's at stake. And if that kind of mistake is made, and I go back to what I said in the earlier teaser, if this was a military officer or a CIA case officer, their butts would be fired.
And nobody got fired for Afghanistan. No, nobody. Nobody got in trouble for Benghazi. And we're talking about now an app that our enemies did not access, number one. And number two, we're all very, very upset that emojis were used. So I think we've all learned some lessons here. And we can probably move on as a country. Move on. We need a better app. We need an app that's not just meant for hanky-panky. I don't know. I don't really know. Maybe something better. And we need, because I'm told that that app's used for a lot of hanky-panky. And adults need to quit the emojis, but go back to using GIFs. GIFs? GIFs or GIFs? I don't quite know. And then we can all move on with our lives. Okay? Because this story is taking up way too much oxygen, if you ask me. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. And this is the best the Democrats have. Oh, it's going to be a long 4 years, isn't it? It's going to be long 4 years because they're clutching at straws here. They are clutching at straws. Listen, we got a great guest coming up. He was an intern for Howard Stern, and he said he can't believe what Howard Stern has turned into. And this is going to be great because I'm really excited about this interview. So Steve Grillo, who was one of the original interns, and this article in the New York Post that he was quoted in said Howard Stern made a political U-turn, and it's gross to see what he's turned into. And he's got a new book out called Gorilla Parts, and I'm excited to talk to him. You know him from the Stern Show as Steve Gorilla. So he's going to be joining us, Steve Grillo, coming up next. We're going to talk about woke Howard Stern and just what this guy has become. Because I think that it is such a moment in our culture to expose one of the biggest frauds right now out there, and that's him. So we'll do that straight ahead. It's going to be a big show today. Trump's going to speak from the White House on Women's History Month. I'm just so glad we can acknowledge what a woman is finally. And even though he's not a biologist, he's still going to say what a woman is and acknowledge women. Isn't that a great thing? You're damn right it is. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm really excited to welcome to the show former intern on the Howard Stern Show during the golden years and author of a brand new book, Gorilla Parts, Steve Grillo. Steve, welcome to Philadelphia, man. How you doing?
What's going on, brother man?
No, it's great to see you. It's great to have you. And congratulations on the book. This is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It took me almost two years to write it.
Did you use any ChatGPT or AI or anything like that? Or
No. I use my really good friend Jason Huza, who's my co-writer. So, no, I didn't do anything like that. Not a big fan of AI or anything like that. So I did it the old-fashioned way. I sat down with Jason. I told him stories, and we sort of accumulated it all together and wrote a book.
Your book comes at a perfect time right now. I mean, the New York Post did a big story about this the other day, and that's what brought it to our attention. So first of all, for people that don't know or may not have heard you back when you were an intern on the Stern Show, why Gorilla? How did that come about?
I explained that in the first chapter. It basically was Gary getting abused for like an hour on the air because he actually listened to what he did, what Howard asked him to do, which was Jackie and Fred and Howard, rather, they got into painting for a while, and they all decided to paint portraits of Gary, and they all came out hysterical. And I had just started, and Howard was like, He told Gary right before he left, he said, do me a favor. I don't want these things sitting around. Why don't you put them in the promotions office, the promotions department office. And so I don't want anybody touching it. So Gary did what he was told. And the first thing in the morning, Howard was so excited he wanted to show Robin the pictures. But the person in the promotions office didn't come in until 9 o'clock. So he basically ripped Gary a new one for about an hour. And then when I came in, I told Gary, I was like, I heard him tell you to put it in the office. So he rushed back in and said, well, our new intern, Steve Gorilla, you know, he messed up my last name. And Howard just picked up on it and never let go.
But you didn't like it, though.
Well, you know, when I was a kid growing up, you know, it's sort of like I had a pass for a while because we were mean, vicious, evil kids. And all we did was like break each other's, you know, and I'm trying to be good with the cursing here, pal.
So, I appreciate that. This is terrestrial radio, so we have to, Steve. I appreciate your concern.
I got dumped twice in 5 seconds. Going into Anthony Cumia. I felt so bad. The producer forgot to tell me I was on terrestrial radio. I'm so used to doing podcasts, you know?
I know.
So we'll
all be doing podcasts soon, my man, so don't worry.
Yeah. So the kids really had nothing to make fun of me about. You know, my one friend was Puerto Rican. That was easy. My other friend was Jewish. That's even easier. My other friend had a stutter. There you go. And my other friend was Chinese. So we all had our little things to piss each other off, but no one could really get to me because I was just sort of like plain white bread, you know? So one day somebody told me that they messed up my last name, just like Gary did. And they called me Gorilla, and it pissed me off. And, you know, in my neck of the woods.
Try to say it ticked me off. I think you should say it ticked me off.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, okay. That might be better.
It
That's a fine line in how we're using it in the context, but just to be safe, we'll say ticked off.
Yeah, no problem. That was my kryptonite. That's if you wanted to get underneath my skin, you made fun of me calling me a gorilla. So going into the air the first time, I wasn't exactly too happy with what he was doing, you know?
Now, look, when you were on that show, I mean, I listened every day. It was great stuff back then. It was and you were terrific. You were, I mean, amazing. And it was a great show back then.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No, it's true. And that's why when I saw that you had a book out, I was like, we got to get this guy on the show. I mean, this is a big deal. You were funny as hell. I listened. And then, but I don't know who Howard Stern is today. And that's the thing. We're all trying to figure this out. What happened to this guy? So you said in the New York Post, when they asked you about this, you said that you basically don't recognize this guy anymore. So was it all an act back then? This U-turn, is this real? Was that real? I mean, explain it to us, Steve.
I could say 100% back in the day that was real. Like, he was having so much fun. He just, like, you know, he just honed his craft. And he was just, like, on top of the world. And he was like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, every day he went on there, and he was very consistent about how he was or who he was. And, you know, I wasn't, you know, now I just think he's just afraid of pissing people off, that it took him all those years to, like, get accepted. Now he's accepted. And I don't think he wants to lose that acceptance.
I mean, like, accepted by the A-listers, all the celebrities, all the people that he always felt insecure around, he's accepted by them, you mean?
Yeah, well, he's down, he's on his hands and knees, you know, and he's begging, all those years he wanted to be accepted. Now he's in bed with them, I guess. You want to put it for a nicer way. I said it a little different yesterday on a podcast, but
yeah,
like him, like Kimmel and stuff like that, like, you know, like he doesn't want to lose the acceptance it took so long to get, I guess. Or maybe he's just a billionaire and just doesn't really care anymore.
Well, Gorilla Parts is the must read book right now. Steve Grillo is the author, former Stern intern, and I'm so happy he's here. You got to read this book. There's a story about how he saved Howard Stern's life too, and how Howard was terrified of snipers. But Steve, I want to play a clip for you. All right, I see one of the things that I loved about Stern back in the day was that he was a big libertarian. He was all about people's personal freedom and liberty, right? I mean, he ran as a libertarian back in New York for governor.
You know what? That's the only thing that I could possibly say was just kind of a whole stage thing. He had no intention of being governor. I think it was just like a prank that got out of control, where he actually could have won the governor race. And when it got really serious, he kind of like, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't want to be governor. You know, I just want to tell, like, dirty fart jokes on the air, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But at least, you know, he seemed to be for personal freedom. And then COVID comes and he thinks everybody should get the COVID shot. He goes, you know, F your freedom, F your freedom. Let me play this for you. This is a clip that I'm sure you've heard from September of 2023. You're the expert on this, Grillo. So I'll get your opinion on this. Cut 26.
By the way, I kind of take that as a compliment that I'm woke. I'll tell you how I feel about it. To me, the opposite of woke is being asleep. And if woke means I can't get behind Trump, which is what I think it means, or that I support people who want to be transgender, or I'm for the vaccine, dude, call me woke as you want. I'm not for stupidity. You know, I ran out Friday morning. I was over at CVS. Thank you, CVS. I went over there 9 a.m. and got myself that new vaccine for COVID. Science. This country is so great.
All right. Now, I think a lot of Trump supporters probably listened to the Howard Stern show back in the day. I'm one of them. I don't know where your politics are, Stephen. I don't know if you want to get into that or not, but it just seems like, you know,
his inauguration.
You were at the inauguration. Okay, fantastic. Yeah. So Steve Grillo was at the inauguration. So you're a guy who would proudly wear a Make America Great Again hat.
Not in this city. I'm not saying that I don't own one, but I wouldn't wear it. Did you see what happened the other day? Somebody was wearing one on the subway, and some woman went ballistic and chased him down. But she landed on her face, so there you go. I'm not smart enough to really talk about politics, but what I am smart enough to know is logic and reason. And that's gone out the door. And I had to get the vaccine. I don't believe in the flu shot. I didn't want to get the vaccine, but you know, I afforded for me, you know, I'm a grip in Local 52, and they were so strict on movie sets that you had to get it. But if I could go back in time, I wouldn't get it.
A lot of people feel that way. A lot of people do. And then, but, you know, this is the thing, right? So a lot of people who are Trump supporters used to love the Stern Show back in the day when you were on it, Steve Grillo, and all the stories you tell in Gorilla Parts, they loved the show back then. And then for him now to hate Donald Trump, who, as you point out in the book, was a good friend of Howard Stern and was on the show all the time. And then he just, he hates Trump supporters. He thinks we're all idiots. He openly mocks us and condescends us and puts us down. But these are working class people. These are guys who work in the unions. These are the people that used to listen to his show going to bust their ass all day on the job site. And those are Trump's voters. And Howard has no regard for them at all. And that's what really bothers me. That's what really gets to me, Steve.
Yeah, it's like, you know, he was the poster boy for freedom of speech. And now he's like that person he used to hate, you know. I always thought it was weird that, you know, I kind of like lost respect for him when he silenced Opie and Anthony. I didn't watch it. I didn't listen to radio back then. You know, I don't have a car. I live in Manhattan. So, but I always respected Opie and Anthony for, you know, giving him a run for his money. But when he told, you know, Mel Karmazin, I don't want them talking about me anymore. That's what he fought for the first 20 years. You know what I'm saying? How could you do that?
Yeah, no, look, I mean, his battles with the FCC were legendary, and that's why he ultimately went to Sirius XM, you know, at the time, XM, whatever it was. But, yeah, it was because the government was going after him. So then for him to become a hypocrite and to try to silence people. But then it's also that, you know, he used to hold politicians accountable, which is what people should do. And then to listen to him suck up to Joe Biden this way. Let me play this clip for you.
Oh, my God, that was so painful.
Painful, right? Steve Grillo's with me. Gorilla Parts is his book. If you love the old Stern Show back in the day, you want to read this book because there's so many amazing stories in it. We'll talk about some of them. But we all know this. This might be the biggest moment of groveling that even Rogan said, who is this guy? Like, who the hell, what has he become here? Cut 24.
Thank you for doing this today. I want to thank you for your compassion. You know, the reason I'm so excited to talk to you was because I wanted to understand the tragedy in your life and how you dealt with it. And you're the kind of leader I love because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country. Because if you're a good father to your family, which you are,
I'm
a good father to the country. And I want to thank you for providing a calming influence, an organized administration post-COVID. getting that vaccine out. I remember what the world was like at that point, getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin, the incredible large growth in the jobs, unemployment rate down. I'll give you your greatest hits. The lowest uninsured rate in history. 4 out of 5 Americans are covered for less than $10 a month.
Knocking
off a few ISIS leaders, cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist. Even the marijuana reform laws, enough sitting there and fighting that battle. Respect.
Could his nose be any further up the president's rear end? And Steve, that is painful to listen to.
And the blatant lies he's telling, too.
Right?
You know, he stood up to Putin. What? He walked all over us for the past 4 years. And that he's a good father? Well, he's got a crackhead son and another, like, wacko daughter. How could he say that?
He got a crackhead son.
I don't know, dude. That's pretty tight. I would love to be a good father
in the sense that he was able to make money off of his crackhead son. I guess that makes you a good father if you were able to, you know, be a corrupt politician and make a lot of money off him and then pardon him. I guess that makes you a good dad.
Yeah. According to the world of Stern, I guess now I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to see how that interview really went and what the process was, to get there. Because, man, Howard must have gone to like Secret Service schools, and you can't say this, you can't say that. In fact, don't let him say anything, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's not forget,
that could have been a disaster.
Steve Grillo, when he did that interview, this is part of the cover-up of his cognitive decline. Let's not forget that. All of that was happening, and Howard Stern played a part in that cover-up because he was acting like Joe Biden was fine. Joe Biden was long gone by the time that interview happened. And, you know, to hear these people now, like whether it's George Clooney or what's his name from CNN come out and say, oh, we should have been more honest about the president's mental health. Oh, screw you, people. You lied about it. You covered it up. You told us it was cheap fakes and deep fakes and fake news. Steve, these people are the biggest hypocrites.
Well, listen, George Clooney's a fall down drunk, and I can prove it. But no, I seen the man hammered drive off in his car. I was like disgusted. But they're all just.
You saw that? You actually witnessed that? Is that in the book?
Yeah, it's in the book. We got hammered at the Sky Bar, I think it was called. It was like the Private Parts publicity tour, and we were like Stamos like brought me to this party. Like every celebrity was there, and including Clooney. And somehow or another, I just wound up being one of the last people. Me and him were like the two last people there, and we were putting him back, and he started to complain to me about, you know, this is at the time he was doing Batman, and he was also doing ER at the time.
Yeah.
So he was, like, literally, like, drunk and complaining, talking about how if I'm not in a bat suit, I'm in scrubs, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yo, don't you, I don't want to say the words I use, but I was like, don't you complain to me. Right. I said, how dare you? I was like, I work just as many hours as you do, and I make a fraction of the money. You're complaining to the wrong guy. God, I want to curse so bad right now.
No, I'm cursing on the inside. This guy's complaining about it.
He put down his drink, and he looked at me and said, I like you, because I wasn't putting up with this, you know, stuff.
Yeah, this guy's complaining about what we all dreamed about, getting to be Batman. Are you freaking kidding me? Yeah. You're getting paid millions of dollars to live every kid's dream to be freaking Batman with his bat nipples, which, by the way, Grillo, that movie was a freaking disaster. That killed the franchise.
So he complained, and then we wound up, like, leaving, and all of a sudden, this convertible pulls up with the valet, and I go, yo, my man, you're not getting in that car, are you? He goes, yeah, why not? I said, dude, because you're loaded. I was like, I said, dude, I'm serious. Why don't you just take a taxi and get some assistant to come and pick up your car tomorrow? You should not be driving that car. And he turns and he goes, he smiles at me. I said, oh, you know what's messed up, bro? Because you go drive off a cliff right now, and everybody's going to turn to me. Why they let you get in the car? And I gave him the double bird, and he jumped in the car and he took off.
Wow, you tried to stop him. You tried to do the right thing, Steve. I mean, you know, that was good. I'm glad you tried.
Yeah, but he's going to go and kill somebody. Then they're going to blame me for letting him get in the car.
Wow. All right, I'm so glad you're here. All these great stories and gorilla parts. I want to hear about how you saved Howard Stern's life. Because really, look, you might be critical of him, but he should let you come on his show and he should promote your book for all you did for him, including the fact that you saved his life. So, you know, I want, before I get to that, let me play a clip of Howard Stern, the one-time libertarian who was all about personal freedom and personal choice and used to, you know, bash the government all the time for wanting to take away your liberty and your freedom, who thought it was funny that somebody died because they were a COVID skeptic about the vaccines. They were skeptic about the vaccines. Cut 27.
But it's really funny when these radio guys are the best. There were like four of them died. Four of them who were like ranting on the air, they will not get vaccinated. They were on fire, these guys. It was like day after day, they were all dying. And then their dying words are, I wish I had been more into the vaccine. I wish I had taken it.
You know, I have trouble drumming up compassion. And I think that's a terrible thing, to not be able to drum up compassion for people that stupid that they wind up dying.
Where do I have that clip of that Mark Bernieri guy? Bernier, the guy who died. Oh, I got it. Here it is. This is the guy, I'm not getting the vaccine. That's the guy who died.
That's a great question. And we were going to talk about that as far as the vaccine goes. You know, what about you?
I'm not taking it.
Come on.
Are you kidding me, Mr. Anti-Vax? Sheepers.
Ever?
Sheepers. No.
Anti-Vax. Mr. Anti-Vax.
And he died?
Yeah, he's dead. He no longer walks. There were three other guys, too. I don't have tape of all of them. And they're on the radio preaching. I tell you what, as far as I remember, when I went to school, you had to get a measles vaccine. You had to get a mumps vaccine. You had to get, there was a ton of them you got.
You still polio. Have to. In order to go to school, you have to have certain vaccines.
When are we going to stop putting up with the idiots in this country and just say, it's mandatory to get vaccinated. Their freedom. I want my freedom to live. I want to get out of the house already. I want to go next door and play chess. I want to go take some pictures.
All right, that's enough of him. Grillo, now Steve Grillo's with me. Yeah. Gorilla Parts is new book.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know, it's painful. I know. Painful to listen to that, but he was terrified to leave his house, right? Because he's got major paranoia
issues.
He was
like that to begin with anyway. He was always afraid. He was always afraid of germs. He was always like scared of everything. You know what I'm saying? Like shaking people's hands and at the hand sign attack. It was like, don't shake Howard's hand. You know, you have to like tell people that.
Man. Yeah. And then he just locked himself in his house on his mansion in Long Island in the Hamptons and just wouldn't leave for years. He was terrified. And all the guys, you had to go to work though. A lot of people had to go to work.
Yeah. I was an essential worker. How about that? Dude, I was doing beer and liquor sales at the time. So basically I was down in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And, you know, like if you go to like Avenue D, it's sort of like a project area. They were outside every day with their radios and a cooler and a table and chairs. No mask. They didn't care. And nothing happened to them.
Do you think that, like, in this day and age, the people that vote for Trump supported Trump? You went to the inauguration. I was going to go, but I had a foot thing. It's a whole long story. But I was at the White House. I mean, I've known the president a long time. I was a Stern listener. Do you think that I'm correct in saying that when Howard Stern attacks Trump supporters, he's attacking his old audience?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, and guess what? That old audience isn't listening anymore. They don't even know he's still on the radio. Mm-hmm. You know how many times I get that a day? He's still on? He's still on? I didn't know he's still on. No one's listening. Yeah. He went down to like 30,000 people maybe or something like that. I don't even be worth it if I went on there because, you know, no one's listening anyway. The more people are listening to you right now, which is great because you sound like you're a good dude.
I'm a good dude, buddy. This is a big station. We have a lot of people we reach, and the podcast is huge. And I'm really glad I can't tell you how many people are sending me text messages right now saying how much they love you and loved listening to you on the Stern Show back then. I mean, Twitter, my phone's blowing up. Everybody's like, "Holy, you got Steve Grillo on? That's amazing. You got Grillo? Like, they love this. You're a good dude, man.
It's on Amazon, and the Audible, I think, is going up today, so you can get it at Audible. You get to listen to my annoying voice for 4.5 hours.
I like your voice. No, this is good. You've got a good radio voice, Grillo. You really do. So
I got a good radio face, too.
Well, we all got that, brother. I'm proud. Like, I'm psyched for you, man. So your day job, though, you still work for a living, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure. I did. This is. I just took a little break off to just so I could get that book done and do some promotion. But you know, I'm going back to work next week. You know, back to the Union Hall. You know.
Well, let's all buy his book and help put this man on tour and make him a big star, dude. I'd love to host a book signing with you in Philly if you'd be up for it.
Oh, dude. Oh, I would love that. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is my favorite show in the world. I go on to talk about how the Philly fans were the best. I think I wrote about it in the book. The Philly fans were the best fans that we had across the board. You do something in Jersey, maybe like, you know, if 50 people showed up, that was a lot. You did something in Philadelphia, 250 people showed up. They were the best fans. I always had such a great time. You don't have to twist my arm to go to Philadelphia, bro. I would love to do that.
All right, let's make it happen. Let's definitely do that. We'll do a book signing. We'll hang out together. We'll talk about woke, and we can, and you can drop as many F-bombs with all kinds of bombs, because you're really, I got to give you, great job today. You had to exercise a lot of restraint, and I could hear the restraint in you. It's like, you know, yeah, so you'll be able to just let it out on stage. We'll put a trigger warning there. You know what I mean? Boom, we're good.
Yeah. Yeah, I did it. I did my first one at a bar on Saturday. And it seemed to work really well. So it was fun. It was a nice day. Had a nice turnout, friends and family, and just like people that heard about it that came by to say what's up. And so it was scary. Like, that was part of the thing that, you know, for years people have been telling me to write a book. And I'm just like, you know, no one gives a flying, you know. And I got tired of people telling me, right? It's not just stories about Howard, dude. I got a lot of other interesting things going on in my life that, I think you're going to find extremely interesting, you know, like just stuff you wouldn't expect, you know, what my life was like or is. It's fun. I had a lot of fun doing it, too. You know, I think you'll have fun reading it or listening.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, we're going to make this happen. We'll do a Politics and Pints event with Steve Grillo. It'll be awesome. We'll do the book Gorilla Parts. We could sign it. We can meet people. We'll talk about woke and wokeism. This is the perfect time for you to write this book because Trump is president again, and Howard every day still takes a crap on his old audience every single day when he trashes Donald Trump. Or not every day, because he doesn't work every day. What does he work, like 3 days a week maybe? Like half the year?
He's on the elderly plan. He's on the elderly plan.
I love it. Listen, follow Steve on.
You got to mash his food up for him now. If I worked there right now, I'd probably have to mash up his potato and turkey together, you know?
Woke Howard Stern. That's what I call him. Woke Howard Stern.
Yeah, no. Audience-less Howard Stern. Stern John gets more views than him.
Follow Steve on X at Steve Gorilla and go to GorillaPartsTheBook.com. Get his book. We'll do an event with him, but get his book now and then bring it to the event. He'll sign it for you. Congratulations, brother. Thanks for making time for me today. This was a real blast.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, bro.
All right. You take care, Steve.
I'll see you soon, man.
Absolutely.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.